This is Pastor Emery, and today we will continue, God willing, on our Bible study of just what is the New Jerusalem of Revelation 21 and 22. The Apostle John left a written description of that vision he was shown by an angel, and he begins this way, Revelation 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. We read that last week. Then we also read verses 9 and 10, strange verses to contemplate today in comparison to what we are often taught about the place Jerusalem has to fill in Bible prophecy. Verses 9 and 10 of Revelation 21. John writes, And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials, full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. So the first thing we learn about this city, which John called the holy city, New Jerusalem, is that it is called by the angel of God, quote, the bride, the Lamb's wife, end of quote. I have to repeat that and impress it upon my listeners to keep that in mind all the way through this study, because that verse 9 and 10 are hardly ever read in the modern church by ministers who do read some parts of Revelation 21 and 22. The reason they skip those verses is because most ministers today identify this New Jerusalem either as the old city in Palestine after some sort of an urban renewal project to be carried out by Jesus Christ in the millennium, or they say these passages are a description of the heaven where believers go when they die. Neither interpretation, that New Jerusalem is the old city with a facelift, or that New Jerusalem is heaven, can be upheld by them if they read verse 9, which says, The New Jerusalem John saw is the bride, the Lamb's wife. I have yet to hear a preacher with the audacity to say that Jesus will marry the old city of Jerusalem when he returns, or that Jesus is going to marry heaven and make heaven his bride. So they usually skip those verses. And on the strength of that angel's identification of New Jerusalem as the bride, the Lamb's wife, we must seek further into God's Word, not only to expose the obvious error which has been taught and is being taught about New Jerusalem, but to find out just what God Almighty was showing John in this strange and wonderful vision he gave John 19 centuries ago. Our purpose on these several broadcasts is to search out that truth, so you stay with me, get your Bibles, read right along with me if you can, and we shall find out the answer to what is New Jerusalem. Last week I gave a brief summary of the description of New Jerusalem as recorded in Revelation 21, verses 11 through Revelation 22, verse 5. It would take too long to repeat all of that. I'll just remind you of some of it, and then we'll turn to the rest of the Bible to see if we can make sense of this bizarre description of something called both a city and a bride. In verse 12, it says, Its 12 gates have the names of the 12 tribes of Israel written on them. In verse 14, its 12 foundations have the name of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Verse 15 through 17, the city is measured by an angel with a golden reed. Verse 19 and 20 says, Its foundations are garnished with 12 precious stones, and they are listed. Verse 21 says the 12 gates are made of one pearl, and the street is pure gold. And that is where the songwriters get their pearly gates and their streets of gold, which they have somehow transferred to heaven even though John saw this city coming down from heaven to the earth. The rest of chapter 21 and the beginning of chapter 22 tell of kings and people coming in and out of the city. Verse 24 says, "The kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it." Again, New Jerusalem has to be something on the earth. New Jerusalem is not a description of the heaven of the preachers. It is on the earth. The last part of its description in Revelation 22 is about the river of water of life, the tree of life, and the throne of God in it. Now you keep your finger or marker in Revelation 21, for I am going to read passages from other parts of the Bible which will help put this jigsaw of New Jerusalem together so we can see the whole picture. I'll not necessarily take these things in order, but in verse 2 of Revelation 21, John called New Jerusalem, quote, "the holy city," unquote. Turn with me to Isaiah 52, the only place in the Old Testament where that phrase is used with the name Jerusalem. Isaiah 52, verses 1 and 2. "Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion, put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Shake thyself from the dust, arise and sit down, O Jerusalem, loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion." And here is a connecting name, a name not used in Revelation 21. Zion. The holy city Jerusalem is here called Zion by Isaiah, Zion and the daughter of Zion. Immediately, of course, we see that the phrase, "the holy city Jerusalem," being Zion, has a much larger fulfillment than any one city. For the title Zion is used scores of times in the prophets in relation to the kingdom of God upon the earth. The name Zion comes from the place where David first set up his throne. In 1 Kings 8, we find David taking the stronghold of Zion, which was a small hill outside of Jerusalem. So the name Zion came to stand for David's throne, David's rule, or God's rule over all Israel. We have such passages as these in David's Psalms. Psalm 48:2, "Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth, is Mount Zion, on the sides of the north, the city of the great king." Psalm 132:13, "For the Lord hath chosen Zion, he hath desired it for his habitation." That thought is in many of the passages about Zion, that it is the place where God will dwell with Israel. And remember, we read of New Jerusalem, that the throne of God and of the Lamb were in it. Revelation 21, verse 3 says of New Jerusalem, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God." Psalm 147:12 reads, "Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem, praise thy God, O Zion." So to a great extent, the title or name Zion is interchangeable with the name Jerusalem. Turn to Isaiah 33. In verse 20, the reader is told, "Look upon Zion, the city of our solemnities. Thine eye shall see Jerusalem, a quiet habitation, a tabernacle that shall not be taken down." In effect, he said, "Look upon Zion, and you will see Jerusalem." That is the same as the angel who said to John, "I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife," and John looked and saw that great city, the holy Jerusalem. In Isaiah 60, a chapter in which we will be reading later, God speaks through the prophet to Israel about their regathering or rebuilding. And in verse 14 he says of this place, "And they shall call thee the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. So here we have the word city in relation to Zion, which is comparable to Jerusalem. Joel is an end-time prophet. He describes a great world battle in Joel 3. Then we read in verse 16 and 17, "The Lord also shall roar out of Zion, and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heaven and the earth shall shake, but the Lord will be the hope of his people, and the strength of the children of Israel. So shall ye know that I am the Lord your God dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall no strangers pass through her any more." That this description in Joel is a parallel to Revelation 21 is evident again from the statement that God will dwell there, that at that time Jerusalem shall be holy, and the phrase, "there shall no strangers pass through her any more." In Revelation 21, the New Jerusalem is called the Holy City. In verse 27, we are told that none will enter into it but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now notice in Joel 3, verse 17, a new phrase or title has appeared. The words, "My Holy Mountain." "I am the Lord your God dwelling in Zion, my Holy Mountain." I am giving you these pieces of the puzzle, and I can take time to discuss only a few of them. Otherwise, we would be on this subject of the New Jerusalem for months. Zion is one of those names in the puzzle, and about one half of the prophet Isaiah is about Zion. "My Holy Mountain" is another phrase or title for Zion or New Jerusalem. It is used a score of times in the books of the prophet. Let's read a few of those quickly. Isaiah 11 has several verses which are often quoted by ministers when they try to describe the kingdom age on the earth. Verse 6, "The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid." Verse 7, "The lion shall eat straw like the ox." And these are usually correctly interpreted to be idiomatic phrases of a time when the earth would have universal peace. Then verse 9, "They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain." There is that phrase, "my holy mountain." And then it says, "For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea." And notice here, going through the phrase Zion, the holy city, the holy mountain, what do we find? A time when the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord. Remember I said New Jerusalem was seen coming down to earth, and kings and people went into it, and out of it, according to John, in Revelation 21, and then in Revelation 22, we read of the tree in it, which had leaves which were for the healing of the nations. Here too, in the books of the prophets, that place is described, and it is on the earth, and it will bring God's wisdom and God's peace to this sin-sick earth. Isaiah 56, verses 6 through 8, are verses which teach that others beside Israelites will be brought to God and to Jesus. Verse 6 identifies them as the sons of the stranger that join themselves to the Lord to serve Him. Verse 7, "Even them will I bring to my holy mountain." That this has something to do with God's regathering of Israel is evident by the words which follow. "The Lord which gathereth the outcast of Israel saith, yet will I gather others to him beside those that are gathered unto him." As when we read of Zion and Jerusalem, and now of my holy mountain, we find it is the place of the regathering of Israel. In the next chapter, Isaiah 57, God again speaks of those who will be brought into his holy mountain. Verse 13, When thou criest, let thy companies deliver thee, but the wind shall carry them all away. Vanity shall take them. But he that putteth his trust in me shall possess the land and shall inherit my holy mountain. Did you hear that? Sometimes we have to read these things over twice, even phrases that have been heard for years because we miss them. What will you do when you inherit God's holy mountain? God said, they shall possess the land. Yes, the land. No matter what we do, we cannot put this Zion, or this Jerusalem, or this holy mountain off up in heaven. God keeps giving us words like land, earth, and nation. Let us read a little longer description of God's holy mountain in Isaiah 65. In verse 9 we read, and I will bring forth a seed out of Jacob, and out of Judah, an inheritor of my mountains, and mine elect shall inherit it, and my servant shall dwell there. Revelation 22, verse 5, said God's servants would serve him in New Jerusalem. After more verses of prophecy and description in Isaiah 65, that chapter ends with, the wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. Now let us go back and read some of the verses between verse 9 about the inheritor out of Judah, which would obviously be Jesus Christ, and the description in that last verse of that great time of peace we mentioned before. Let's start in verse 17. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come to mind. What did John say he saw in Revelation 21? A new heavens and a new earth. Verse 18 of Isaiah 65. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create, for behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing, and her people a joy. So here in Isaiah, the phrase, a new heaven and a new earth, is directly tied in with Jerusalem, just as it is in Revelation 21. We must be reading of the same thing. Here is more of Isaiah's description. Verse 19, and I will rejoice in Jerusalem, and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. Revelation 21 and verse 4 said of New Jerusalem, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there's no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, for the former things are passed away. Isaiah 65 verse 20, there shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. These are idiomatic phrases which say, in effect, men will still be children at 100 years of age, and the sinner will not be there at all. But listen to the next three verses about the new heaven and this new earth, this Jerusalem where there will be no more weeping or crying. Verse 21, 22, and 23 of Isaiah 65. And they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. Pastor Emery, do you mean to tell me this description of the new heaven and the new earth, called in the Bible New Jerusalem, called Zion, called God's holy mountain, this place which has pearly gates, and whose foundations are garnished with precious stones, and which John saw with streets of gold, that this is a land where people will be working, where they will be building homes and planting vineyards and enjoying the work of their hands? Yes, I do. The vision John saw in Revelation 21 and 22 is of the same Jerusalem and Zion described in the last chapters of Isaiah. It is on the earth. It is a land, a place where people will work and enjoy peace and harmony. You may have been told from childhood that that Jerusalem is a place up above, a place where your departed relatives have gone to live. You may have sung 100 songs 1,000 times about flying on the wings of an angel to the pearly gates to sit on a cloud at Jesus' feet and play a harp for eternity. But God told Isaiah this new heaven and this new earth, which is called Zion and Jerusalem, is a land, a place where people live and work. Well, my time is up. I do hope I have given you something to think about and enough curiosity to be with us next week to listen to the rest of this amazing description in the Holy Word of God. This description that does not fit at all the picture painted for us by the modern clergy. Perhaps even enough curiosity to write for our free radio packet for February and read my booklet, The Old Jerusalem is Not the New Jerusalem. This book and God's Word makes it plain the old city of Jerusalem has nothing to do with the New Jerusalem of Bible prophecy. Next week, God willing, we'll make more discoveries in the writings of the prophets about that strange city, New Jerusalem, which the angel called the bride, the Lamb's wife. Until then, this is Pastor Emery saying goodbye. God bless you. Read your Bibles and pray for Christian America.